He joins us now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Julie. Good morning. It's actually Yvonne Sampson, not Simpson.
Do you know what? That's what I've got written. I've just completely randomly changed your name. I do apologise for that.
No, not at all.
Thank you for correcting me. Look, we know the immigration system is pretty complicated. Unless you are currently coming from an EU country, when you're free to walk into the country and make your life here and live here. However, people from outside of the EU, and this will be the case for people from the EU after, we think, October the 31st when we leave, are going to face immigration restrictions. What is going to have to change to make it easier for people who perhaps have a lot more to offer this country, whether it's science, innovation, academic excellence or entrepreneurial skill, to come to this country?
Well, I think Boris Johnson's announcement is driven by our economic needs. I mean, the labour market is very different now than it was, say, 5 years ago when we were in the middle of the then Home Secretary Theresa May's policy to bring down the net migration to the tens of thousands, which resulted in the hostile environment she created. So it was a sad case of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, because she was trying to get illegal immigrants, but at the same time she was creating a hostile environment for skilled migrants. So what Boris Johnson is doing is looking at, I think what he's trying to do, is looking at the economic needs of the country. So now that we don't have a steady flow of EU workers, the labour market now demands we look outside the EU for our skilled migrants, which we need.
But we can still get skilled migrants from the other EU countries. There's nothing, if they're skilled, we'll still want them. And if Britain is an attractive place within the EU, it's still the same country, has the same things to offer in terms of jobs and the like for those people after we leave the EU.
Well, if I'm an employer, I'd like a bigger pool talent.
Yeah.
I'd like to attract those bright minds from India, who are very good at the tech industries. There was a report in June 2019 by the Migration Advisory Committee, which are a non-governmental department advisory body to the government. And what they recommended was that we increase the number of jobs on a shortage occupation list. And what that basically is that there's three requirements. One, that the job is skilled, that we have a need for it, and it's sensible that we offer jobs to those where there's a shortage in this country. At the moment, that list accounts for 1% of our employment needs for migrants coming. What they recommended was to increase it to over 9%. So what the sort of jobs we're talking about is things like in technology, aerospace, biochemistry, biology, chemical engineering, computer science, all those STEM fields. We need that. Technology is going to drive this country forward, and we need skilled workers in order to fill those vacancies.
And how difficult is it for people to get work here right now if they are coming from, say, America or India or China? We know, obviously, we have an awful lot of foreign students who come here, and they're going to be talking about changing the rules there, allowing them to stay and work here for a couple of years afterwards. But in terms of attracting somebody who, you know, we need someone, you know, great in the tech world or aerospace, how easy is it for an employer to get somebody from abroad who perhaps has a skill which, for some reason, they can't find here in the UK? I mean, personally, I would rather we started making sure we've got a lot of homegrown talent to fill a lot of those jobs. But I completely accept that, you know, having people coming from different backgrounds in different parts of the world, bringing new ideas, new skill sets, is definitely help our innovation. But how easy or hard is it for an employer to get someone from overseas right now if they're not in the EU?
It's challenging. First, you need a license to do so. There's loads of hoops you have to jump through to get that, and that's hard enough.
What sort of hoops do you mean?
Well, you need to show that you're a bona fide business, that you've got premises, you're VAT registered. There's a load of documents, and they're not easy, these applications. Quite often, clients will come to us because they're having difficulty in completing these applications. Also, the turnaround for these applications is not swift. So if somebody is looking for a worker and they want to take this person on quickly, and we're competing with America, with Australia, France, Germany, they will get in there first because an employer has to wait for that license before they can then recruit the foreign worker. On top of that, there's an immigration skills charge. So for every foreign worker that we employ, the employer has to pay another £1,000 every year. That's an additional burden for employers. Can I just say one thing? That a lot of these bright students are already here, Julia.
Yeah.
They're students. The increase in student numbers in the UK was only 0.5%. In America, that was 10%. In Germany, it was just under 9%. In Australia, it was also just under 9%. So we're increasing our students by 0.5%.
You're saying increasing foreign students
foreign students. We had a policy called post-study worker visa. So once you'd graduated, you could continue to stay here for 2 years. We scrapped that in 2012. Need to bring that back. We've got the bright people here. Let's keep them.
And again, yeah. we have also got a lot of that soft power, haven't we? Is that English is often a second language for many people coming from overseas, places like China, places like India, and of course, first language places, people from America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and other places like that. We know that the people want to come to university here, certainly. In terms of the top 20 universities in the world, they're either in America, I think a couple in Singapore, otherwise they're in the UK. They're Oxford, Cambridge, Imperial College, UCL, and the like, University of Edinburgh. There are no top-flight universities in the whole of the EU. So surely we're still going to be attracting a lot of the top-flight academics, scientists, and experts to our country because the best want to work with the best and they can attract people on that basis.
True, but when they've completed their courses, they're going to go home. Most students do not settle. It's an absolute nonsense. When we had breakfast, and we had the conversation about foreigners taking over our jobs, it's simply not true. Most students go back. We want them to stay. And I know if I was playing football, I'd go and want to play for someone like Barcelona, where Messi's playing. So when we have these really bright minds, they can help to train our home students, our home workers. We want these people here to improve the skill set.
In terms of if we want to attract the best of the best from around the world, from whichever country, if there's one thing that the government can do to make it easier to get those people and attract those people and basically bring up all our standards as well, inspire people here who want to work with them, what should the government do? What should Boris Johnson announce?
I think he should carry on what he's doing now. Theresa May made the UK unwelcoming place for foreigners. What I hear from my clients is that they were not considering coming to the UK because they don't feel welcome. And I think that's really important that we increase the more announcement by Boris saying, come to, we're open for business. Yeah. We want you here. We want your families here. We want to make sure that we encourage you to start businesses and employ people. We want these bright people to start businesses themselves.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ivan Sampson, partner.